God. Now you know why I chose my text. The gift, my topic, the gift of love, an impossible possibility. What shall we say then to these things? Love has nothing to do with what you're expecting to get, but with what you're expecting to give, which is everything. You know the Bible story about the rich young ruler. He came running to Jesus, thought he was in love with Jesus. And Jesus said, sell all you have and give to the poor, and then come and follow me. The Bible says Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, give all you have and then come and follow me. Do we really love Jesus? Are we really in love with God? After the rich young ruler had left, the disciples said to Jesus, who then can be saved? And Jesus said in Matthew 19:26, it is recorded, Jesus said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The gift of love, then, is an impossible possibility. With men, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Now, that's a hallelujah text. With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I come from the old school Caribbean Adventist where we don't say hallelujah except we're reading the Psalms. But amen just means so let it be. And hallelujah means praise the Lord. And then I left and went to college and got a BA in theology and then an MA in theology and now a PhD in theology. And the more I find out about God's love, the more I want to say amen, hallelujah. So don't leave me alone in the pulpit today. With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. What shall we say to these things? Amen, hallelujah. How is it that we are able to love God? The Apostle John puts it this way in 1 John 4:19. We love God because he first loved us. It takes a miracle to change our hearts so that we fall in love with our Heavenly Father. We love him because he first loved us. You just sang about it during the song service, didn't you? How deep is the Father's love for us? On Calvary, I dream of love. Paul says in Romans 5:8, God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how come we're able to fall in love with God. Otherwise, from that, it would have been impossible. With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. That's why we love God, because he first loved us. And that love begins with faith in God. Romans 12:3 says, God has given to everyone the measure of faith. And Galatians 5:6 says, faith works by love. And so faith is the beginning of love to God. Everyone who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Now you may ask, how much faith do I need? I'm glad you asked. Remember Matthew 17:20. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, what can you do with it? Move mountains. How much faith do you need? How much faith do you have? Whatever amount of faith that you have, put that faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you will fall in love with Jesus over and over and over again. With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I'd like to share with you that famous quotation from a famous female Adventist preacher named Ellen White in Christ's Object Lessons, page 333, Christ's Object Lessons. As the will of man cooperates with the will of God, the will of man becomes omnipotent. It's an impossible possibility. With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. That's an amen hallelujah quote. So why do we love God? Because he first loved us. How do we love God? By exercising faith in God. That's how it gets started. How do we keep on loving God? Romans chapter 15, verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Love begins with faith, and it continues in hope of final glorification. Whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Whom he predestined, he called. Whom he called, he justified. And hallelujah, whom he justified, he will also glorify. Amen? We continue in the love of God through hope. We begin with faith. We end with hope. Philippians 1 verse 6, he who has begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ. One of our old favorite hymns, number 507, says, moment by moment, I am kept in his love. Moment by moment, there is life from above. Looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am dying. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, whom he foreknew. And you may ask, well, if God foreknew those of us who love him, what about those who don't love God? Is there any hope for them? God foreknows that you're not going to love God. How can you love God? Some people could ask that question at the seminary. What about those of us who don't love God? You can be at the seminary and not be in love with God. And as young preachers, when you go out of the seminary to preach in your churches, never assume that everybody in your congregation already loves God. That's why we must always preach the gospel, right? In every sermon. But I'm glad you asked about those who don't love God. All things work together for good to those who love God, whom he foreknew. Well, what about those who don't love God? Well, I have good news for you today. God knows and foreknew those who now love God, but he also foreknows and foreknew those who don't love God. And guess what he knows about them? That they can fall in love with God. God foreknows the impossible possibility that everybody could fall in love with God. And that's why God loves everybody. For God so loved the whole world, amen, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And so if you're not among one of those who already loves God, whom he foreknew, then you're among one of those whom he foreknows that you can fall in love with God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that how many? All should come to repentance. Count the long-suffering of God, Peter writes, as an opportunity to be saved. Even as our beloved brother Paul wrote in his epistles on this very point, when he wrote some things difficult to understand. One of those is about foreknowledge. But Peter says, don't get confused by those difficult texts written by the Apostle Paul. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen to me this morning. Your very existence is a promise from God concerning the impossible possibility that you can be what God wants you to be. One songwriter said, you can go anywhere that he wants you to go. You can be anything that he wants you to be. You can climb the high mountain. You can cross the wide sea. You are a great big promise, you see. Your very existence is God's promise to you that you can be what he wants you to be. And my own life experience is a testimony to that truth. This island boy from the Bahamas who didn't ever dream of even studying at Andrews University got a chance to come here and study at Andrews University, and now I'm a professor at Andrews University. And if the Lord spares my life a little longer, you ain't seen nothing yet. I am a promise. I am a possibility. I am a great big bundle of potentiality. And I am learning to hear God's voice. And I am trying to make the right choice. I am a promise to be anything God wants me to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't give up. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward climb. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I'm pressing on. Tell the person next to you, I'm pressing on the upward way. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. But there's a part two to this message. The part two is harder than the part one. I want to talk to you now about the impossible possibility of loving God's people. First John 4, verse 20 says, if someone says that they love God and yet they hate their brother or sister, they are a liar. That sounds like Donald Trump. I mean, he says some people have been lying, you know. If anyone says that they love God and hates their brother or sister, they're a liar. For those who do not love their brothers and sisters whom they have seen, how can they love God whom they have not seen? Now, this is not just about loving your brother and sister who were born to the same mother and father on earth. This is about loving your brothers and sisters who belong to the same heavenly Father. You got to love everybody. You got to love the black people. And you got to love the white people. And you have to love the Caribbean people. And the African people. And the European people. And the Asian people. You got to love everybody. You got to love the Democrats. And you got to love the Republicans. You sure you love God? You got to love the liberals. Even in the church. And the conservatives. Gotta love all the people who didn't vote the way you thought they should vote at the general conference session. I better stop before I get into trouble. Or is it too late? You gotta love everybody if you want to see Jesus. It's not easy to love everybody. Do you believe in love at first sight? It's easy to understand how someone can fall in love at first sight, but it takes a miracle to keep looking at the same man for 50 years and fall in love with him all over again. Now, you preachers need to learn how to love the people of God. Now, I don't mean love them the way you love your wife. I'm shifting gears now. But seriously, you need to love the people of God. And I'm not only talking about loving the Seventh-day Adventist people. You need to love everybody. We must be careful not to fall into the Jonah syndrome. God said to Jonah, go down and preach to those people at Nineveh. And Jonah headed in the opposite direction because he didn't love the Ninevites. And after he preached and they got converted, he still didn't love them. Because it was day number 40, so he made sure to get out of the city. So that when God rained fire down on them like he promised, Jonah would have a ringside seat. Let's love God's people. Let's not fall into the Jonah syndrome. Remember, even after they become Seventh-day Adventists, this doesn't mean it's going to be easy to love them. God's people are not always going to behave the way you and God think they should behave. But they're still God's people. Ellen White says in Selected Messages, Volume 2, page 396, we should remember that God's church, enfeebled and defective though it be, is the only object on earth on which God bestows his supreme regard. He is constantly watching it with solicitude and strengthening it by the Holy Spirit. And one of the ways he does that is through the preachers that he has placed in the church. And the preacher needs to love the people of God. Amen? Amen. You may ask, what about Romans chapter 11 and verse 2, which says, God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. This is the second text in Romans on foreknowledge. The first one, he says, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, whom he foreknew. And now in Romans 11, he says, God has not cast away his people, cast away, apotheo. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. You say, what about those whom he has cast away? Romans 11, 15, apobole. Same words in the English translation, two different words in the Greek. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew, Romans 11, 2. But God has cast away his people, Romans 11, 15. So what about those whom he has cast away? Are we still supposed to love them? I'm glad you asked. If you give up on those people whom you think God has cast away, because he didn't foreknow them, you think, and you're condemning yourself. God foreknows the impossible possibility that we may fall away from being God's people through unbelief, and he also foreknows the impossible possibility that we may be grafted in again to his people by faith. That's the message of Romans 11. Verse 20, because of unbelief, they were broken off and cast away, and you stand by faith. But don't boast against those broken off branches, because you also may be broken off if you don't continue in faith. Verse 22, therefore consider the goodness and the severity of God on those who fell and were cast away, severity, but toward you, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you will also be cut off. Verse 23, and they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to grasp them in again. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, and God is also working for the good of those who don't love him. If God be for us, who can be against us? What shall we say to these things? I think we should say amen, hallelujah. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen, hallelujah. What shall we say then to these things? Amen, hallelujah. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What shall we say? Amen, hallelujah. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. What shall we say to these things? All right, you got it. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is at the right hand of God, and he makes intercession for us. What shall we say to these things? What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? What about persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep as to be slaughtered. Yet in all these things, amen? In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. What shall we say to these things? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor things present, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing. All things work together for good. No created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What shall we say to these things? Amen. All right. Thanks a lot.
One thing that was said that really stuck with me was love is not measured by what you expect to receive, but by what you intend to give. I want to let you know that we did not come to give you, or you did not come to receive entertainment. Amen? I hope everybody came here to give worship to God, right? The Bible says that the kingdom of God is now. It begins right now. So if you plan on going to heaven, well, there's going to be a lot of noise, a lot of praise, and a lot of worship. I really hope that you're going to worship